Let's pray, let's sing, let's celebrate Jesus. Father, we're so grateful that we can be together tonight and worship you. And I thank you that each one who is here has come to meet you in a fresh way. And so we welcome you here because we are gathering in your name. We pray for those who are still coming, that you would give them safety and travel and hearts to love you with. Father, we're so grateful for Jesus and all that you sent him to do. And Jesus, thank you for being a faithful son and honoring the Father and showing us the Father and paying the price for our sins. And then rising from the dead so that we have the promise of eternal life. And Holy Spirit, we just welcome you here tonight to move among us and to surprise us in how you break in and to show us, Father, in fresh ways. We thank you for all this in the awesome name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Let's sing.
Jeremy has a way of leading us on and making us want to sing more and more. And shut it off. But thanks, Jeremy. Great choices. Who has a testimony you'd like to share with us today? Yes, Renee.
I have a couple. My first one's a prayer request for my teacher. She's being moved to a different school.
Okay.
And my friends are not very happy about it.
Okay, that's your math teacher, I think?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then my friend Catherine had her birthday yesterday.
Okay, good.
And also my friend Catherine's father. Mm-hmm. And my basketball tryouts tomorrow.
Basketball tryouts tomorrow? All right. Yeah. Wonderful. Thanks for sharing this.
I got kind of a funny that works in mysterious ways kind of thing. Our driver's board at work was just for the census and who's working and all this other stuff. And at the bottom, it always kind of worked maybe to have a blessed day and they erase it. And the next day, I come in and have a blessed day and erase it. And one day I came in, it's like, oh, look at that. They left it on there this time. Well, what I didn't realize is it's so hard to come by like permanent markers around there anyhow. And somebody actually put in a very wide black permanent marker. Never saw it before. Harry is now forever being blessed day.
That's funny.
I worked in a mysterious
until somebody brings black paint. Very good.
God can even use permanent markers.
Yes. It's also forever happy Thursday now too.
That's good.
It's good once a week. Or it gives us something to look forward to. Or to remember back. Kevin, you shared that your mother is doing well and your aunt. She had a couple of broken bones, ribs for your mother. 37 stitches.
That's my aunt. Cut her out of the ear.
Cut her out of the ear.
Wow. They hit the ditch. They got wedged between two trees.
Wow. They have a lot to be thankful for.
Yes, they do.
And you do too.
I've been taking care of my mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's something how God takes care of us sometimes when we don't even realize it. How many times have I been driving a car and realized, oh, I looked up just in time. How'd that happen? You know, I should remember always to say thank you, Lord. And sometimes I do. It's good. Let's pray for some of these things. Watch how God works. Father, thank you so much that you care about us, you love us, you provide for us, you have ways of getting messages across, and I pray that we'll listen when you speak and we'll obey and follow. Be obedient to you. I pray for Renee's teacher who is experiencing change to a new work position, that will go well with her and her family. And I pray for the students in her class that they will adjust well to the new teacher who comes in and give that teacher the same respect and honor that they're due as the leader of the class. We pray for Catherine. We thank you for blessing her with another birthday. And we pray for Arnie, her father, that you bring healing and restoration to his body, to his mind, to his spirit, to his soul, to every part of his being. Bless that family abundantly, I pray, meeting all of their needs, spirit, soul, and body. And then bless Renee tomorrow as she tries out for the basketball team. I pray that she'll do her best and be happy with the results as you provide them and as they turn out. We honor you. Pray for Kevin's mother and aunt. And we're so grateful that their injuries were not more serious and that they are recovering and healing well. Pray that they'll continue to recover fully and completely. Father, as we go through these next days and months and weeks, thinking of Thanksgiving coming, Christmas, New Year, I just pray that we'll be aware of your spirit and your presence in our lives and in the world around us. Show us how you're working. Show us how you are supreme. And we choose to follow and obey you. I thank you for all of this. In the awesome name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Let's pray our offertory prayer. As we receive today's offering, we believe you, Lord, for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decrease, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Anna, you want to pass the basket to me? Hi, Annette. Oh, welcome. Hi, Annie. Anybody interested in a children's story?
Hi, guys, gals, folks, youans, y'all. Good to see you. Well, I often do a lot of talking at this time, but tonight I thought maybe we'd do something a little bit different. We've done it before, but it's been a long time. I'd like to play a game. Yeah.
Wait, any game?
Any game?
I forgot
Okay.
What is it? Is it Jerky Bones?
Yes.
Let me just. I'm glad I'm back. Yeah.
Actually, he told the story that night to a friend, and he was like, and it worked out really well because I got the piece of candy.
And I didn't have to drink the lunch.
Maybe I'll get the points.
I would take the
lunch. Yeah.
Have you given me?
I know. Okay, well, everybody's going to participate in this game. And it's a game that I think you know how to play. It's called Follow the Leader. You know how to play that game? Okay. I'll be the leader, and you guys get to follow it. Now, part of following the leader is you not only have to go where the leader goes, but you have to do what the leader does, right? Yes. Yes. Okay. So the first thing we have to do is stand up, hitch our pants, and be ready to go. Okay, let's go. Taking big steps. That's good. This is fun. Want to join us? Want to join us? Thank you. All right, that was great. Lost everything. Are you out of breath, or is that just me?
I think so.
All right. Was that fun?
Yeah.
Okay, so how do you think you did following the leader? How do you think they did following the leader? Pretty good?
This is what we're saying, I think.
Okay. How many of you invited somebody to join us?
Zero.
As we went around?
I did not. You never said we had to say what you said.
No, but you do what I do. And what did I do? I invited people to join us. And you didn't. There was nobody to invite? How many of you were not invited?
Huh?
Yeah, I see some hands of some people that were not invited. Now, here's some good news. Somebody was so excited about what they saw in us that they just came on their own and joined us. They didn't even have to be invited. That's great. Here's why we played that game. Okay? One was to have fun in church.
Yeah.
But another, and the main reason, is because Jesus is our leader, and he invited us to come follow him. And when we follow Jesus, we want to do what Jesus does. And one of the things Jesus did was he invited people to follow him. So we want to invite people to follow him too. And some people followed him because he invited them. Others followed him because they were just drawn to him. There was something about him that made them want to follow him. And that was the Holy Spirit in them. So let's think about, as we live our lives, that we're following Jesus. And we want to do what Jesus does and would do. And we want to invite others to follow him too. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you gave us Jesus as an example, and that he is our Lord and our Savior, and as such, he's our leader. And I pray for these children that they will choose to follow Jesus every day of their lives, and that those of us who are a little older than these children choose to do the same. We honor you, we bless you, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for your participation.
See if it comes up better.
Take it backwards. It wasn't supposed to. Here. No. Not that. This one. Jeremy, you want to help me here?
in trouble. Satan wants to do that. He wants to go to Hebrews 10. No, I want John 1:19-51. Oh, you have it set up for.
It's whatever was up here, so.
Ah.
There we go. So you had more than one.
Yeah, okay. All right. It's good I called Jeremy. We might figure it out while we wait for me. Okay, last Sunday we looked at the first 18 verses of John 1. And so now I would like to continue from there. And remember, that's the passage that starts, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, the Word was God. And we decided as we went through that passage that the Word that was being spoken about there was Jesus. That Jesus is the Word, who was with God, who was God, who was God from the beginning, who was part of creation. And now we're learning about John the Baptist, who preceded Jesus, and let's see what we learn. Now, this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." So, imagine being sent by your boss, by those over you, go find out who this guy is. He's out there in the wilderness, he's baptizing folks, he's eating locusts and wild honey, and he's wearing a camel's hair coat, and, let's learn about him. Who is this guy? And so they go and they ask him, and he tells them who he's not. I mean, I think I'd say, well, I didn't ask who you weren't. I asked who you are. And his testimony is, I'm not the Messiah. Well, let's see where he goes from there. And so they ask him, then, who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Finally, they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? Some frustration there. And I think I could understand why. You ask a direct question and you get an indirect answer. John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. John has a pretty good opinion of himself. He's someone who was prophesied about. He's someone whom Isaiah said was coming. He was the precursor to the Messiah. He was the one who was to make the way straight and level and plain for the Messiah to step in. That was his role. And that's what he was telling them. This is who I am. Wow. That's quite a responsibility. You know, there's a sense in which I think we have some of that same task. We're not John the Baptist. I'm not trying to say we are. But part of our call as followers of Jesus is to present Jesus in such a way that it's easy for others to step in and follow him. It's like we're preparing the way in their lives for Jesus to come and be part of their lives. Just a thought. Now, the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him. Why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah,
nor the prophet. Can I paraphrase that a little bit in maybe plain English? Who do you think you are baptizing folks, since you don't have any authority? That's pretty much in your face kind of talk. And that's kind of the way the Pharisees did things, as we read about them in the scripture. So John says, "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." There's one among you. He's here. You don't even recognize him. And he's so great. He's so high and holy. I don't deserve to be his lowliest servant. I don't deserve to be the one that kneels down when he steps into the room and helps him take off his dirty sandals. He is above all others. There's none like him. And you, Pharisees, don't even recognize him. Wow. Wow. Has Jesus ever been somewhere and you didn't recognize him? No, there's lots of stories told about people who had the promise that they were going to meet Jesus this day. Story about a shoemaker, storekeeper. And he went through his day. He had three people come in his shop that day, and he was looking for Jesus, and he didn't see him. Each person had some need to be met. And each one was turned away because I'm expecting a very important guest today. And I have to be ready for him when he comes. And at the end of the day, went home disappointed, disillusioned. And in his prayer time, he said, "Lord, you said you were going to come today. And I waited for you, and I looked for you all day long. You didn't come." And Jesus said, "I was there three times, and you turned me away each time." "And as much as you do it to one of the least of these," Jesus said, "you've done it unto me." So Jesus doesn't always look like what we think he looks like. He certainly doesn't look like the picture on the wall. You know, those photographs didn't turn out when they took them out there because he was before cameras. And as some artist's rendition idea. But, you know, Jesus shows up in different ways, and we have opportunity to give a glass of cold water in the name of Jesus. And when we do, we're giving a glass of cold water to Jesus. "I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you didn't give me a drink. Or I was thirsty and you did give me a drink." You can't ignore people that are around us that are in need. And John came to prepare the way. All this happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptized. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Remember, we talked about this a couple weeks ago.
when we talk from Hebrews 10, that sermon that tried to come up when I wanted to get to this one, where it talks about the blood of sheep and goats does not take away sin. Those sacrifices had to be made year after year because they didn't work. They only reminded people of their sin. And then Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, died once for all. And now he's risen and he sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. One sacrifice paid the sin, paid the price for all the sin of the world that ever was, that is being now, and ever will be committed. There's never a sin that we go to the Lord for forgiveness of, but he says, oh, I should have paid for that one too. No. No. It's sure. Sure. There's grace for all. Grace for all. This is the one I meant when I said, the man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him. But the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Okay? Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, here's John. I came before him, but he was before me. It sounds like double talk, doesn't it? But if Jesus was in the beginning with God, he was before John. Even though John was Jesus' cousin in the flesh and about 3 months older than Jesus, as we read the gospel stories in Matthew and Luke, John says, I came before him, but he was before me. And so the preeminence of Jesus, he's there. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. Wow. That's an incredible statement. Now, the Gospel of John doesn't tell us about Jesus' baptism here, but other Gospels do. And they talk about, as Jesus was coming up out of the water, the Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove. And John said, right here, I saw that happen. I saw the Spirit come down upon him as a dove, and it remained. How much does it take to startle a dove and make it fly off? Not much at all. If a dove were to come and sit on your head, and you would look up to see what was there, dove's gone, isn't it? The dove comes and sits on your shoulder and you shrug, it's gone. Doesn't take much. The dove comes and sits and there's a loud noise, it's gone. But this dove came on Jesus, and it remained. Now, I don't think that Jesus walked around on the earth with a bird sitting on his head or his shoulder. Okay? I think we have a symbol here that the Holy Spirit came and rested on Jesus and indwelt him, filled him, and it remained in him. But I believe that the part of the teaching of it is that we want to welcome the Holy Spirit in the same way that we would welcome a dog, and not do anything that would cause that dove to not feel comfortable in our life. We want the Holy Spirit to feel at home in us. And I would invite you to take inventory. How am I doing? How at home does the Holy Spirit feel when I'm at work? When I'm driving down the road? When I'm driving down the road and I'm cut off by another car? Or when I'm in the store and the line is really long, and all the lines are really long. Yeah, you're right, I'm thinking of Walmart. But, how do we respond to those things? Does the Holy Spirit feel at home? When I'm doing things I enjoy doing for relaxation, if I'm watching TV, does the Holy Spirit feel at home watching the programs I'm watching? When I'm reading a book, when I'm at a movie, when I'm, you name it, you know what your activities are. When I'm out to eat, where I go, what I do. If the Holy Spirit was a God, would he remain? He did with Jesus. We're to be imitators of Christ. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me. Now, that statement is interesting to me. Remember, John and Jesus are cousins, and there's 3 months difference in their age. Now, my grandchildren are all cousins to each other. And they know each other, and they see each other often, regularly. Now, John and Jesus didn't grow up in the same town. I realize that. So I don't know. It's hard for me to imagine that they didn't meet each other. I would think they would know about each other if they didn't know each other. But somehow I would think that family gatherings, or there'd be some time annually at the temple that they would meet and that they would talk. But growing up, I hear John saying, I didn't know him as the Messiah. I didn't realize that he was going to be the Messiah. That's just for what it's worth. But the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. Where we could say, this is the Messiah. This is the Christ. This is the one on whom I saw the Spirit descend and remain. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Wait a minute, preachers aren't supposed to build a following for other preachers. But John did. That's okay. These disciples were following John because John had a truth. John had a promise. He had an anointing. They wanted what John had, but then they met one that was greater. They met the Son of God. They met the Messiah. They met the Christ. And it didn't take them long to make the switch. When we meet Jesus, we should be ready to give up whatever it was we were following to start following him. It's nothing that compares to following Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher. Where are you staying? Come, Jesus replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying. And they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. quite the interaction. We want to know where you're staying. What's with that? Maybe we want to stay with you. Maybe you have something we're looking for. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. Now, we know that Andrew became one of the 12, and he didn't just follow Jesus for a day, but he followed Jesus throughout the rest of his ministry. Okay? So, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ," and he brought him to Jesus. First evangelist. Andrew met Jesus, and he was so excited. He had to invite his brother to come and join him. He had to. And he did. There's a lesson there for us. When we meet Jesus and get excited about him, we have to invite people we care about. We have to. Christ's love compels us to be reconciled to God. Jesus looked at him and said, "You're Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. This isn't in the scripture, but in this scripture, but it is also, when translated, means stone or rock. Okay? You're Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. We found the Christ, and he's one of us." He's a Nazarene. He's Jesus, Joseph's son. You know, the carpenter in Nazareth, that guy, his son, his oldest son, Jesus. Nazareth. "Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. How many times do we invite people to Jesus and they have excuses? "What? Jesus? What's he got?" Philip had an answer. "Come and see. Just come and give him a chance. Don't be put off when people don't accept your initial invitation, or they've got some kind of answer or some kind of excuse. Just come and see. Just come meet him. See what he's like once. If you never hear his voice, if you never feel his embrace, if you never experience his affirmation, his blessing, you would know. And you couldn't leave. Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Ah, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Wait a minute. Jesus is seeing him coming. It isn't after Jesus visited with him for a while.
it isn't as Jesus got to know him. He saw him coming. And Jesus said, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And Nathanael asked, how do you know me? Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Huh? That's not a straight line of sight. Huh? You can't see that fig tree from here. Huh? How can this be? Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. He recognized him when Jesus met him. He met Jesus. And Jesus knew him before he knew him. Jesus knows us, whether we know him or not. And if we think for a second that we have something in our life that's hidden from him, we don't have a clue of who he is. And if we think for a second that we're harboring something in our life that would repulse him to such a point that he wouldn't have anything to do with us, we don't have a clue who he is. Because that's the stuff that Jesus paid for on the cross. That's the stuff Jesus died for as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That's the stuff that when we come to him, he says, give me back my stuff. I paid you for that stuff. It belongs to me now. You let go. You don't have anything more to do with it. You're free. Your record is clear. You're holy, as I am holy, because I have made you holy. Not because you've done anything to deserve it, but because I love you. Jesus said, you believed because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. I could just hear Jesus kind of chuckling at that. That was nothing. You will see greater things than that. And I can imagine Nathan saying, huh? That seems pretty awesome to me. He then added, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. You follow me, you're going to meet God. You're going to be in his presence. You're going to see the angels coming and going, ascending and descending on the Son of God, Son of Man. What do you want? You want to wonder who he is? You want to be him. You want to follow him. You want to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Take me. Take me. When you see the procession coming around, there's people following Jesus, and they're having fun, and they're celebrating him. If you don't get asked and invited, just push your way in. Hey, can I come too? And let me tell you what. Those of us that are followers of Jesus,
who he told in another place, I'll make fishers of men, who love catching people for Jesus. We all believe and know that it's an awesome day when the fish are jumping in the boat. Yeah, it's super, and it's fun to put a line out, the bait down, and bring them in. But I saw a fishing show yesterday, I think it was. Saw a glimpse of part of it. And they were out fishing for fish. And these fish were jumping up, and I've seen fish like this before. And they were jumping up, and they were flopping in the boat, and they were flopping around the boat. That was a great day fishing when the fish are jumping in the boat. It's a great day following Jesus. People are coming to him. And maybe you didn't even invite them, but here they are. Welcome them with outstretched arms. You know, the prodigal son's father, here comes the boy home, smelling like pigs. What'd the father do?
Ew, go get cleaned up and then I'll give you a hug.
No, ran to meet him, embraced him, took on that smell to himself. And then when they got back into the compound, told his servants, kill the fatted calf, we're having a party tonight. We're celebrating. This is my son who was lost but is found. He's dead, but now he's alive. He's right that we party. We need to welcome people who come in. And they're going to have all kinds of issues. And some of them, I'm going to look at and say, Lord, I don't even know how or where to start to help these folks. Just let the Lord clean the fish. It's not our job to clean people up. That's what Jesus died for. Our job is to love, to welcome, to embrace, to walk alongside and say, welcome home. We're happy to have you here. This is a great boat to be in. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you sent Jesus. And that Jesus has a winsome spirit, a spirit that draws people to him. The spirit that welcomes people who come. The spirit who embraces us just as we are and loves us passionately, so much so that he won't leave us the way we are, but that he'll change us into your likeness. He can do it in a heartbeat. He can do it over a period of time. You are Lord. You choose. We're here to follow you. We're here to welcome everyone that you call. Father, I pray that we will live our lives in such a way that Holy Spirit feels at home and remains. And that we'll be so in tune with Holy Spirit that when we sense his nudging us to welcome someone in or to invite someone in, we say yes, and we do the inviting or the welcoming and the loving. Oh, Holy Spirit, continue to shape us and mold us into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We want to be so like him that when people see us, they see him. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. Keep doing your good work in my life, in our lives. And we thank you and give you praise and glory for all of this. In the awesome name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God bless you with an awesome week. One announcement about next week. Next week, we will be having communion together. So, know, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we welcome you to participate with us. We'll look forward to that together. God bless you with an awesome week.